quick thank you to our sponsors for making this podcast possible. They keep this show free to listen to.
I came to parenting with everything I learned in childhood: yelling, punishing, controlling, and shaming. After trying almost every method, I found connected parenting and was totally shocked when empathy, listening, doing away with rewards and consequences, and being a safe place actually worked. It moved the behaviors of my children and it felt good, especially with my very strong-willed and highly sensitive oldest daughter. This podcast was born out of the idea of sharing the message and helping parents find more peace in a modern world. Welcome to the Peace and Parenting Podcast. So glad you're here.
Hi, welcome back to the Peace and Parenting Podcast. I'm Michelle, and I've been contemplating an idea here. So we had this threats and bribes event, and when I was posting about threats and bribes, a lot of things started coming up for people. That threats and bribes, if you say, if you do this, then you can do that, or if you do this, when you do that, people didn't believe those were threats and bribes. They believed that that's just the order of events in their house. And then came out this even different idea that we have to do our work first before we can relax. And that's where I kind of want to drill down on, is that we live in a society that's full of productivity and that we highly value productivity. Listen, I'm no slouch. I am a productive person. I'm a doer. I like to get things done. I like things run in an orderly manner, and I like efficiency. However, that isn't always the best way to come to your parenting. It might be a great way to be a good worker or to run a business or to, you know, organize a fundraiser, but it isn't necessarily the best way to run your house. And in that, and what's come out of a lot of discussions with people online, is that many people believe they cannot rest or settle or be calm or be okay in their environment unless all the work is done. Because they grew up believing that you cannot rest, you cannot take care of yourself, you cannot pause, you cannot take a breather until all the work is done. And many of us grew up like that. And it can be so detrimental, because rest and taking breaks and taking care of ourselves is just as important as doing our work. And when we try to use these ideas of doing all the work and then doing the rest afterwards with our kids, it can feel very controlling for a child. You have to do your chores and then you can watch your iPad. You have to do your homework and then you can do these things. You can go play, you can rest, you can see your friends. And then it becomes a manipulation because we're using it as a reward. So a bunch of things are happening in all this threats and bribes, which I didn't even realize the extent and the depth of where they were coming from. It's more than just trying to get our kids to do something for us. It's more than just trying to motivate behavior. It is also part of our culture that we believe that taking care of the work is more important than taking care of ourselves. And that's the piece that I was really disheartened by. And I feel like I fall into that same trap too. But when we parent that way, it's really hard on our kids. And why can't we eat cake first and then have dinner sometimes? Why can't we go play with our friends and then do our homework? If you say to me, if I'm telling you that and you're thinking in your head, well, they won't do their homework, now we have the bigger problem. But that problem we can fix. That problem is a connection problem. Because you don't want to also live in a household or operate a household where a child will only do as you ask them to do because you're giving them something or because you're tantalizing them with a better activity. You want them to do their homework because it's their homework and because it's part of their responsibility. But you cannot use a motivator to get that homework done because that becomes the threat or the bribe, rather. So I think having flexibility in our schedules and saying, you know what, tonight we're going to have dessert first, everybody. And having flexibility in our schedules and saying, hey, when do you want to do? I know the chores are really annoying. I know that take like Pia, for instance. Pia, I know you don't want to take the garbage out. When do you want to take the garbage out? You want to do it later? You want to do it now? When do you want to do it? Can we give choice to our kids? And if we're giving them choice, will that make them feel as if they are less controlled? And if they're feeling less controlled, will they feel better about our relationship? And if they feel better about our relationship, will we get more cooperation, organic, authentic cooperation? And I think that's another whole piece of this. It's like a big onion, really. Another whole piece of this is that we're using the threats and the bribes and the order of events and the work first, play later attitude to garner cooperation inorganically or inauthentically, rather. We're using it manipulatively. Now, it might feel slight, but if you are experiencing, if you're a child and you're experiencing this kind of threat or bribe two or three times a day, times 365 days, you know, you're talking 900 times in a year, you're being threatened or bribed into doing something. After a while, it doesn't feel good anymore. Nobody wants to be manipulated. Nobody wants to have the playtime held over their head that they can't do it unless they do their chores first, or unless they brush their teeth first, they're not going to get the show, or whatever it is that we're using in our world to tantalize or to modify or to incentivize behavior. We want behavior to be organic and authentic. We want cooperation to be organic and authentic. And we get authentic and organic cooperation through connection.
Before we continue, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors. Their support lets us keep bringing you the show completely free. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her questions via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her responses or use their voice-to-text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I used mylifeinabook.com to compile my own stories to give to my daughters for Mother's Day. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code PEACE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code PEACE for 10% off today. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart features a patent protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their formula includes the most abundant protein, alpha-lac, found in breast milk, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula, which includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio like an early breast milk, making it great for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula made with certified clean ingredients, including organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. What it doesn't have is soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast. Use code PEACE for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Okay, back to the show.
So one thing that I think is interesting to note is that, and I've talked about it before on the podcast, and I talk about it all the time in my coaching, but when the kids were really little, we had a really hard time in the mornings, you know, and I think this is common. Many people will tell me, I can't get them out the door. I can't get their teeth brushed. Everything's a fight. And so then we lean into threats and bribes and punishments. You know, you can't play your video game unless you brush your teeth and get ready for school. Then they get on their video game and you can't get them off the video game because you haven't created connection. You've created coerced cooperation, which we don't want. So what I always did in the morning was before I asked my kids to do anything, before I required them to brush their teeth or get dressed or do any of the things that were on our list of things to do, I used connection. I got connected with them. I played with them in the morning. Every single morning for nearly 10 years, we played together before anything else. Why? Because I wanted to build them up with connection. because I wanted them to feel close to me, because I wanted to prioritize the number one thing in our life needed to be relationship. And you can't prioritize relationship if you're fighting through 25 chores. It's just not going to work. So every morning we got up and we ate first because everyone was always starving in my house, but many people do it a little bit differently and they'll even do it before they eat. And after we were done eating, I got up 25 minutes early every day for 10 years at least, meaning I was getting up at like 5:45 and 6 o'clock in the morning. And I created this space where I used 20 minutes, and sometimes it would really only take 10, to play with them. We would jump on the trampoline sometimes at 6 in the morning. We would play pillow fights. We would play a game called Can't Get Past Me. We would play hide and go seek. It feels like every season was a new iteration of some different game we were playing. Sometimes we would just color. Sometimes we would do tiny special times, 10 minutes each. It just depended on what was going on in our home. And it changed everything because I prioritized connection and I think they could feel that. And over time, brushing teeth and getting ready and getting organic cooperation was a breeze. After a while, I didn't need the 20 minutes because getting ready for school only took 10 because I prioritized connection, because I prioritized relationship. And I didn't think, and I had to really rework my own ideology that we needed to do the work and then we could be rewarded. We live in this society where we are deeply steeped in the idea of rewards, even rewarding ourselves. I do it to myself too. I'll tell myself, if I can hike this entire thing, I'm going to reward myself with a green juice at the end. And I won't give myself the green juice before I go hiking. Why? I don't know, because that has been instilled in me. I will sit at my desk and work and work and work and work and work and work, and I will reward myself with taking a break out on the back patio. Why didn't I take a break on the back patio in the middle of my work? Would it have made my work better? Why didn't I take the break before my work? Would it also have made my work better? Would it have made me feel better? Why am I denying myself the break? Because I think I grew up in this society too, where we highly prioritize productivity and work. And so I know this is kind of a rambling, weird, circuitous kind of podcast, but I do believe all of these things are linked together. The threats and the bribes come from this place of work first. They also come from this place of we need to get cooperation because we need to get things done, also checking things off lists. We really highly value when we can do things. And I think as moms and as all parents, we want to get that list of things done more than anything. And many of us, like myself, don't feel good until that list of things is done. But is it coming at the cost and the detriment of the relationship we share with our child because we're pulling them along with us? You got to get these things done too. And many people said to me on Instagram, especially, they said to me, well, I'm instilling good work ethic. Well, is that good work ethic? You're instilling work ethic? Or are you teaching your child to threaten and bribe somebody when they want to get their own way? Because work ethic isn't something you can manipulate somebody into, but they might turn out like us, like highly prioritizing work over self-care or productivity over taking breaks or doing things as opposed to relaxing. And relaxing and taking care of yourself and taking breaks is equally as important as doing things. Because this other point is that if you work yourself too hard and you do too much, what does that leave for your kids? Do you find yourself yelling more because you've done so many things and you're overworking yourself and you're making sure all the lists are checked off before you take care of yourself? And are you putting taking care of yourself at the very bottom? And then by the time you get to taking care of yourself, you're so frustrated and resentful and upset that you end up yelling at your children or your spouse, or getting mad at yourself, or shaming yourself. So if we think that we're instilling this idea of productivity for our kids, we might want to rethink that perhaps we're setting them up for some hurt in the long run, that they don't take care of themselves. And are we not modeling how to take breaks and how to rest and how to relax? And do we want to model those things? Those things are important to model. There's plenty of places to learn to work. Just send your kid to school for one day That's 7 hours of work those kids do. I don't think they need more practice working. I really don't. I'm also not saying that you need to do everything around the house and don't expect them to do anything. They can contribute and they can be part of the household, but we don't want to manipulate them into doing it. So a few ideas. Threats and bribes probably are not the best way to garner cooperation, but connection is. So lean into the ideas of connection. If you're new to the podcast, get to the beginning of season one, and it really explains the ideas of connection and what those tools look like. Two, if you prioritize work, what are the detriments of that? And if you don't prioritize taking care of yourself, what are the detriments of that? And then number three, what are you modeling for your children? Are you modeling threats and bribes? Are you modeling connection? Are you modeling self-care? Are you modeling running yourself ragged until you cannot barely breathe and then being dysregulated? What are you modeling for your kids today? I hope this was helpful. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting Podcast, and I hope to see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.